Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Why are racy romance novels so popular? As people flock to escape amid their busy lives and post-pandemic stress, just why are so many women, because apparently it is mostly women, choosing raunchy page-turners to relax? Well, author and podcaster Caroline Foran has described her favourite genre as thrillers meet bunkfests. And she joins us now to tell us more about it. Caroline, you're very welcome to the programme this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I never thought I'd end up on radio for this reason, but here I am.
The strangest things, isn't it? What counts as a sexy or racy novel before we start? What are we talking about here?
Okay, so I came across a study that explained everything, and this was not just someone deciding this is what counts. This is what lots of women who read these books say they look for in these books. So first thing is and the inner life of the protagonist, which I guess you can say counts for like most novels. A suspenseful story, usually an element of thriller, and definitely lengthy passages of with a high degree of explicitness. So lots of throbbing appendages and that kind of thing. We also look for an element of taboo, so definitely a violation of moral boundaries. And that to me is like the really interesting part because we don't necessarily want to read about two people madly in love. We kind of look for a bit of a fictional power imbalance. Most often, because it's read by heterosexual women in committed relationships, it's a male-female dynamic in the book. And always the male seems to mostly be the man in power, and the woman is more submissive. And we flock to it in our droves. It's really interesting. But then what's also coming out is that on top of that, we also look for kind of progressive values in the end to reign supreme.
Oh,
we want all of it.
Of course. That would have to reign supreme in the end. What do you mean we're flocking to it in our droves? You know, what's different from Mills and Boone 30 years ago?
Well, I think that the biggest difference is that now with the likes of the technology, the e-readers, whether it's Kindle or however you're reading, you don't have to queue up at a bookshop with a big dirty novel cover and a title like mounted by a monster under your elbow. You know, you
Sorry, what title?
Mounted by a monster. It was a real book. I didn't read it, but I came across it.
Okay.
Probably Halloween-y themed kind of sexy thriller type vibe. I probably will get to it eventually. But because we can be so much more discreet about it now, we are tapping into more of those books. And interestingly, it's always people in committed relationships, more often than not, with the study revealed anyway, which kind of shows that we just don't have time in our busy lives to actually get to any sense of intimacy in our own lives. We just go and read it in a book where we can be lying down passively in our PJs tucked up. And then it's the 50 Shades of Grey series that really brought it into the mainstream.
Yeah,
and like, that outsold Harry Potter, which is just... Or just a very raunchy book, really.
Yeah, there's something going on there, isn't there? There is more sophisticated options than Mounted by a Monster. I believe. The genre has grown. Like, there's, you know, author Colleen Hoover. I love her, actually. I love her books.
I love her. Now, one of the characteristics that the studies show that people look for is a very simple, like something very resembling a plot. They don't want something too taxing. And the quality of the writing doesn't actually matter that much. But where Colleen Hoover comes in, I think she kind of transcends a few different genres for me. I don't think she would be marketed like as explicitly like erotic fiction or anything. She's very much, well, from what I, the ones I read are very thriller based, very suspenseful, but she always has an element of a good roll in the hay featured in there somewhere.
So she hits those standards that you laid out. There's a couple of paragraphs.
So you feel a bit less like just, you know, you're just looking for smut because you're actually reading a very well written narrative as well there. But she's fantastic, and she's kind of brought me back to that space. I think for so long, I mean, I read 50 Shades when it came out, and like as terrible writing as it was, you just can't get enough. It's just addictive for whatever reason. I probably need to go to therapy.
Well, no, you and very many others, apparently, by the sounds of it.
So.
Because it's a big thing on social media, isn't it? You know, that you'll see, and the whole book talk thing that we've discussed in this program before, but that is driving a lot of these trends. Or do you think it is?
I think so. I think with the likes of the Kindle, I think you can fall down a rabbit hole yourself. Like, I know for me anyway, you finish reading one book and it's just at the click of your fingers. You're like, what am I going to do next? And it will throw up suggestions. So you get kind of caught up in this algorithm of similar books, similar type of things. So you might find that months have gone by and you've not come out of the erotic fiction aisle of the digital bookshop. But then also there are things that just have these moments on social media, which is what E.L. James, 50 Shades did, and it's typically the ones that get made into a movie as well. And then the Colleen Hoover one, I believe, sold the sequel that followed up her best-selling one, which was It Ends With Us. She did another book called It Starts With Us, which came out after that, and that sold more books than I think any in the genre before it even came out in the pre-sales.
Really?
I came across that, Colleen Hoover, I came across her and all of her writing from seeing countless people share it on the stories.
Okay.
I'm like, what is so good that they're walking away from Netflix, they're going away from Instagram to get into these books, there must be something in them.
And is that what you do now? Like, would you be much happier to just sort of tuck yourself up in bed with your book and just tuck into it for an hour or 2 hours?
Well, yeah. So normally I would always go to bed and I have a rule, like I will always put the phone down and read. I would normally read nonfiction. For me, if it kind of feels like research for work, for other things I might write, I'm always trying to, like, you know, educate myself and learn something new. And then my husband was like, would you not just read fiction and just switch your brain off for a while? And then I was like, right, I'll go into this Colleen Hoover one that everyone was recommending. But suddenly the tool that for me was what helped me settle down and get me asleep for the night was suddenly like waking me up and getting me all excited. Okay. And I'm like, I just can't stop reading it. And then I'm like, okay, it's 1 a.m. and I'm completely wired and my husband's asleep. And so it's the way, the impact of an erotic novel is kind of different on you. But definitely, for me, there's something super restorative in just reading. I feel like your world gets smaller, things slow down, and it takes me away from the constant picking up and the scrolling of the phone. It just gets you into like a deeper mindset and gets you like lost a little bit, which I think is just such a nice experience in it. World where we're just so, you know, connected but not really 24/7.
I do take the point that maybe reading erotic fiction before bed is not the best way to get yourself sleepy. These are the conversations once again that we're going to have, Caroline. I wanted to ask you then about this idea of escape, you know, the idea that you don't even really want a plot line, you don't really need the writing to be good, you just want simple sort of ideas, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of the time, like we when it comes to like the violation of moral boundaries, it's sort of like a safe space to explore some of our more like not necessarily socially acceptable drives, like our primal drives. So you can kind of like feel that out in a way that's in a safe space. I think that's really interesting for me, is that we're looking for that kind of to toe the line between what's right and what's wrong, the element of taboo, and like they really shouldn't be together, or this person's really not good for you, but they're going to go for it anyway. Because most of the time we strive not to do that in real life. We strive to make the right choices. I think that's kind of a lure for me anyway of the novels, is that you can play out the wrong choices and the short term gain versus, you know, impacting your life, and then your real life is protected all the while, apart from when anyone sees you reading it.
A safe guilty pleasure, and no one sees you reading it because you've got it on your Kindle, so you can read Mounted by the Monster all you want to your heart's content. That's going to stick in my mind for the rest of the show. Caroline
Forn, I've just made it a bestseller, haven't I?
Possibly. Caroline Forn, author and podcaster, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.